Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, which means it's time to Ask Greg, brought to you by DraftKings. And with football right around the corner, no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings giving all users a no-brainer to start the season. Listen up, you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points. For all users. So even if Kansas City were to lose by 100 points, you still win with DraftKings Sportsbook. That's what you call a no-brainer. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN so you could take advantage of this no-brainer of an offer. That's promo code KSN to get in on all of the action for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Greg Pickle, and it's time to ask Greg. Are you ready, Greg, for our questions?
Yes, let's do it, Jim.
All right. This one is kind of an interesting question, I think. Let's start with Mitch from Drescher. And Mitch says, Greg, is it possible that the Big Ten players underplayed their hand? Did they have the power to say, we're only playing in the fall? We will not play in the spring and or file a lawsuit to demand a waiver of the rule requiring transfers to sit out a year. Is there enough money in play where the school presidents might have folded? So a lot of us were saying that the players organizing, putting out their demands or wishes may have caused a negative reaction. What Mitch is saying, gee, they maybe should have even pushed harder. And if they said, look, we're going to sit out if you want to play in the spring, we want to play now.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jim. I think that really a lot of the problem here comes back to the fact that there are all these conversations happening. So we've heard Sandy Barber say how many times she has met with the other Big Ten athletic directors. We know the presidents have been meeting all the time and that Kevin Warren was involved in these things. We know that the coaches maybe were talking in back channels about how things were going to play out. But part of me just wonders, Jim, if, and I'll get to the point of the question in a second, but my point really is that it just really makes you wonder if for whatever reason, this thing really got running down the track so fast that people just didn't know what was going on. And so they didn't even have time to push for anything. I mean, it just felt like this thing happened so quick that there wasn't time to push for anything by any group. There wasn't time for answers except for, the announcement that the Big Ten ended up making was that it decided to postpone the fall sports season for now. And now that, now we just got to kind of sit back and wait. So, I do think that if there was more thought put into this, and I'm not saying that they made a decision without thinking about it. Clearly, they were concerned by the medical information. But we really, I think, would be in a totally different place if the folks who ended up making this decision, the administrators and the presidents, would have come out and had more dialogue with other people, both within their schools and with each other, really. And if we knew that stuff was going on, I think we would have seen coaches and or players and or presidents make a clear and coherent push for something. Instead, we got almost the completely exact opposite of that.
You make a great point, Greg. And let me ask you this. How much conversation do you think went on prior to that vote between President Eric Barron and either Sandy Barber or James Franklin?
Yeah, I mean, if Sandy Barber didn't know whether or not a vote took place, she wasn't told a vote took place. So I don't think she was informed of everything that happened on those calls, unless you don't believe a vote happened at the Big Ten submitted court documents without you know, that aren't factual. So we'll see if that ever would come out. But I mean, I think there were conversations along the way. I would have a hard time believing that there weren't. But Jim, it just, they clearly didn't have as many conversations as you would hope would take place before a decision like this was made. And I guess let me just put it this way. If James Franklin felt like he was being heard, do you really think he would have went on ESPN Tuesday, the morning that, you know, hours before the postponement was announced? I don't know if he would have. I think that he felt like he had to get a message out. And let's not forget that some other Big Ten coaches, including Ryan Day of Ohio State, were also on network TV making their case to play. So maybe they didn't feel like they were being heard. Or was it all just a recruiting thing? Probably a little bit of both. But I have a hard time. I just have a hard time envisioning you know, this idea that everyone was heard and everybody was on the same page. Because if they were, we just one simply would not have ended up here where we are now at the start of September.
My take on it at the time was James Franklin wouldn't be out talking in terms of just delaying this decision if there hadn't already been a conversation. That morning, my assumption was they are going to end up voting to just push off the decision, maybe delay the start of the season because of what was going on with the coaches. Now, after the fact, you got to consider the possibility that they were trying to send a message and that they, Eric Barron and all the other presidents, told their athletic departments, this is how I'm going to vote.
Right.
The more I read, the more I hear how wishy-washy the voting was, I believe some of the reports that say a lot of the presidents went in there without a decision in their head already made, and Kevin Warren influenced them. There was a large group that was kind of in the middle, and he influenced them to cancel. And until someone tells me otherwise, that's what I'm going to believe right now. All right, let's move on to our next question. It's Bob from South Carolina, formerly from Berwick, another Berwick buddy here. Bob says, in recent years, Penn State players have seen their draft stock rise more through the combine than playing. See Troy Apke, he says. In light of a spring or fall season, will the NFL combine still happen in February? And what players on this Penn State squad may not be invited to the combine because they still don't have enough playing time to warrant an invite?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, I think that is, you know, that's a question that's tough to answer right now for a number of reasons. But the biggest one is, Jim, we know how many players are typically invited to the combine, but will it be more or less this year based on, you know, the rules about gatherings? Or will they maybe invite more guys because of the way things are set up? I don't know the answer to that question right now, and it sounds like the NFL and the NFLPA really haven't taken up any meaningful negotiations or even conversations about changing the combine setup or format or date or changing the date of the NFL draft. I mean, so there's a lot of stuff still needs to be figured out. You know, when I look at the depth chart, though, you know, a guy like Antonio Shelton, who has played enough to get a combine invite, should be safe. But when you look at some of these other veteran guys who are on the roster, but you know, haven't necessarily played a ton, there's not really a ton to jump out at me. You know, a guy like Jonathan Sutherland, and, you know, he's a redshirt junior at this point. I don't think he'd be looking to leave school. I don't think he really would have a decision to make in terms of opting out. But if he did feel that way, I think it would be a tough call for him to get an invite. Same with Donovan Johnson, a guy who just has really had a hard time staying healthy. So those are two of the guys that really jump off the page to me at this point, Jim. And I would say the same applies to CJ Thorpe and Mike Miranda. Again, two older guys who I wouldn't expect either of them to leave, but if they ended up doing so, I think it might be tough to get an invite to a combine without some changes in the way that process works.
Exactly. And speaking of Johnson, what's the status of his injury? Was he listed as being out for the season? And would that change at all if they played in the spring?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't really think he was a guy that was going to contribute much this year. I know 247 Sports has reported he would miss the 2020 season because he suffered an injury during the summer. Would that change in the spring? It very well could, or maybe not. We don't know what the injury is yet. So I don't really know if a spring season would really, you know, give him much more of an opportunity to play at this point, spring semester season.
Okay. Next up is Matt from Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. He says, any idea on how the NCAA will navigate freezing every player's eligibility while still accepting new recruits? I'll tell you what, Matt, I will take this question, which is stick around for quarter number four, because we are going to tackle that question. All right. So you need to stick around. Let's get to another question. Mike from Colorado says, I see here in Colorado, some high school athletes' families are moving to states where they could play their senior season. Have you heard of that happening anywhere else? This seems to be the worst thing for late blooming high school prospects for sure, as no one will see them bloom. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. There's no doubt. I mean, we saw Penn State do the virtual combine thing where it gave athletes the opportunity to watch how they conduct the drills and then have a coach or family member or whoever record them doing it to submit it. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a major challenge for the kids who there are the quote unquote late bloomers or the guys who really blow up as seniors and get their name recognized out there. I mean, it's really unfortunate and it's a shame for those kids, but Ultimately, not too many people have the resources to just up and move to complete a high school sports career. So I don't really think that's going to be something that we hear about a lot. I would say that, you know, the ones that do happen, you'll hear about them because it's so rare. But I think that that'll actually make it seem like there's a lot more of this going on, Jim, when there really isn't. So I feel terrible, of course, for the kids who live in states or parts of their state where they can't have a season. But you know, it's going to make it a major challenge for a lot of folks to try and up and move, especially this close to the start of the school year, just for a sports year. So, you know, like the kids will be found if they are good enough, but there's no question that this recruiting cycle has been really tough, and the moving of fall high school sports has made it even more challenging, both for coaches and for prospects.
Yeah, it has made it difficult. I know there's a very highly regarded, I believe, quarterback who from California, who was scheduled to go to USC, is committed, but he actually moved to Georgia to play his senior season, and that's created all these rumors that he might be switching to a school in the Southeast. So we'll have to see how that works out. All right, that's it for Ask Greg. Stick around, quarter number four. Matt, we're going to answer your question, and we're going to announce our winner.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. For week one of the football season, DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. Even if Kansas City loses by 100 points, you would still cash your bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.